BadQuaker.com podcast. Today is Thursday, September 13th, 2012. This is podcast number 204, and my name is Ben Stone. I am pretty excited. In just a few minutes, well, actually, like a couple hours, I'm going to be talking on the phone with, I'll be talking on Skype with Jake Shannon from Salt Lake City. Jake It has pretty impressive credentials in the Liberty Movement, I'll get into that when I introduce him. I'll probably record the interview today and probably post it tomorrow so that it'll run on LRN through the weekend. I really think the bigger audience that gets to hear this, the better. Jake is a pretty amazing individual. I've said oftentimes that Jake is the most interesting person in the Liberty Movement, and I think I can back that up with facts, and that's saying a lot. You know, you think about some of the people in the Liberty Movement, there's some pretty amazing individuals involved in the Liberty Movement. So for me to say that I think Jake is the most interesting person in the Liberty Movement, I'm ready to back that up with facts. And I'll get into, you know, more details about him a little bit today. I'm going to talk about him on and off. Because he's very pertinent, very relevant to today's topic. I do want to mention again that we're working on BadQuaker.com website. We're in the process of trying to put together a forum. We've hit a few snags, but we're working on it, and we're looking at completely revamping the website and making it more usable, more interactive. And of course, it'll include the reading list that I've talked so much about. Now, let's just jump right into this. You know, the title that I'm working with here for today's podcast is Martial Arts Just Hitting? And if you're not, you know, maybe you know exactly what I'm getting ready to say, but in case you don't follow along, one of the prominent people in the Liberty Movement and a person I have a tremendous amount of respect for is Stefan Molyneux, and I did an interview with Stefan at Porkfest that went very well. You can find it if you search for Stefan over at BadQuaker.com. And like I say, I have a lot of respect for Stefan. He has really done some groundbreaking work in libertarian theory and in bringing forth some of the things that Murray Rothbard was a little clunky on. Stefan really fleshed it out and really worked out the details. And I'd say that Stefan has had a great influence in my life, and he's really done a lot of good for the Liberty Movement. But he made a little bit of a mistake, and I just need to clarify it. I wouldn't even really go into this, except I've had people asking me about it. And at first, I wasn't even aware of this little bit of a controversy that was going on. And then once people started asking me, I kind of dodged the questions and didn't really want to know about it. And then it came to the point of where, okay, I've got to go check this out and see what's going on. And, you know, it looks to me like Stefan just kind of slightly overstepped himself, and all of us can do this. You know, let me be really clear. If Stefan went through all of my podcasts and all of the articles that I've written and listened to everyone carefully and with a critical ear, I'm sure Stefan could point out some things where I've made mistakes, and I would be thrilled to have Stefan do that, critique my work, and sit with me and talk to me and tell me exactly what he thinks about different things. I'd love that. I'd also even appreciate it if he talked about it on his show, and then I could learn from it that way. That would be fine with me. I wouldn't have a problem with that. So, you know, I don't know Stefan personally close enough. I've met him, but I don't know him personally close enough to just call him up on the phone, you know, and just say, hey, what about this? What about that? So my speaking today is not an attempt to attack Stefan, and it's not really even an attempt to coach him or anything. My attempt today is simply to clarify to my own listeners and give a point of view that's maybe different from Stefan's, and then you can choose for yourself how what position you want to take on it. But I certainly don't want to start any kind of fight or argument or anything with Stefan. So after that lengthy disclaimer, let me also say that I had a personal discussion with a real good friend of mine just last night, and we were talking about Stefan on a completely different topic. And he, the individual that I was speaking with, has learned a tremendous amount from Stefan as well. And Stefan, and the things that Stefan has taught him have helped him tremendously in some of the struggles that he's having. So I want to clarify that the conversation I had with my friend last night also has nothing to do with this podcast today, because I already had almost all the notes done before we had that conversation last night. So I don't want anybody, especially my friend that I talked to last night, to think that this is in any way an attack on Stefan or downgrading of anything that he teaches. So, so let's just jump into this. Now, the controversy with Stefan is based around martial arts. And it really kind of came up as a side issue. A caller called into his show and was talking about doctors, medical doctors, and how the caller didn't really have a high level of trust in medical doctors. And he had found for himself that oftentimes, rather than taking a medical doctor's advice and maybe taking a bunch of pills or whatever, that if he just focused on martial arts and on training and on his physical attributes and so forth, his physical workouts and so forth, that he could get better results at achieving better health than he could through going to a doctor. And this opened up the opportunity for Stefan to talk about martial arts. And he made some statements that are really, it's really indicating, I think, that Stefan hasn't fully, let me say it this way. I've never really studied, let's say underwater photography. I've never done any underwater photography. I've never really focused on it as an aspect of my life. I never really investigated it. I don't know what kind of cameras to use. I don't know what kind of, I don't know any of the equipment involved. So I don't know anything about underwater photography. So for me to comment in a very authoritative way on underwater photography would not be wise. So I should probably not involve myself in discussions about the origin and the purpose and the reasons why people do underwater photography. I probably shouldn't comment on it. I should probably just look at shiny pictures and ooh and ah, And I think that's the case with Stefan. He's never really been the kind of a person who is involved in physically competitive sports where two individuals go one-on-one against each other in direct competition. Now, he talks about things like playing tennis and stuff like this. That's a little different than if you get into something like wrestling or you get into something like, any kind of true contact sport is really a different field than something like tennis. So the fact that true contact sports have never been really appealing to Stefan, and he hasn't really he has no desire for them, perhaps, that doesn't mean that that his outlook on those sports should be taken as some kind of gospel that he would know, that he would hold some secrets of the universe that somebody else doesn't know. So this person is talking to him about this medical situation and his trust or not trust of doctors, and Stefan starts talking about martial arts. And he says martial arts really is just hitting. I mean, that's really all it is, he says. He says it just comes back to hitting. Everything in martial arts really is just hitting. And he lumps this huge, diverse sector of sports into this one classification, and he condemns it as having some kind of an origin in child abuse. And I think he's making a mistake, and I think I can point out not only the source of his mistake, but what I'm going to try to do in this podcast today is point out that all of us can make not the exact same mistake, but the same kind of mistake. It's really easy to make this kind of a mistake, and people do it all the time in different fields and in different topics and so forth. One of the things that Stefan said in reference to martial arts, actual martial arts matches, he said, really, you're just playing out a fight with your daddy. And I thought, wow, that's really, that's psychobabble is what that is. That's just not true. It's not, I mean, it might be true in some cases, but you can't take an entire, a whole sector of sports and blame it on fights with your father. That's just not a logical thing to do. He also claims that hitting a child keeps the state going, keeps the state alive. Well, you know, and then he, in a follow-up to that podcast, in a follow-up YouTube video, he basically says, prove me wrong. Show me someone who was raised by peaceful parenting who also does martial arts. Well, you know, the problem is the vast majority of humans have been hit at some point in time. And most people who have been hit at some point in time in their life were hit as a child by somebody. So it's a true fact that the vast majority of people have been hit at some point in time, and most likely as a child. So if you try to find somebody who's involved in martial arts who hasn't been hit by a child, hit as a child, you're really stacking the deck there in your argument when you're doing this. And also, you're not really providing a true cause and effect. You're saying, you know, the vast majority of people who, or even in his case, he's saying everybody involved in martial arts was hit as a child. Well, this is not providing a cause and effect relationship here. You're just making an illogical leap. This is called a non sequitur. It means it doesn't follow. Literally, the existence of one thing doesn't necessarily require the existence of the other thing. That's what a non sequitur is. And really, that's what Stefan's argument here is. It's a non sequitur. Using the same train of logic, I could say Americans are obese because they brush their teeth. Now you think about this. How many Americans are obese? How many obese Americans brush their teeth? Have brushed their teeth at least some time in their life? How about this? How many obese Americans were forced to brush their teeth by their parents? See? I proved it. Brushing your teeth causes obesity. There it is. Prove me wrong. You see what I'm saying? This is a non sequitur. It's an illogical leap. One thing doesn't necessarily prove the other. Okay, now, here's a different example. Kentucky, the state of Kentucky in the United States, has some of the highest cancer rates in the U.S. Nevada, on the other hand, has some of the lowest cancer rates in the U.S. Therefore, Therefore, fried chicken causes cancer, and above-ground atomic testing prevents cancer. You see? Because Kentucky is renowned worldwide for its fried chicken. And Nevada is known worldwide as a place where there was above-ground atomic testing. So therefore, we can make this logical leap that eating fried chicken causes cancer, and above-ground atomic testing prevents cancer. So now, here's the real question. Can we stand in a casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, while there's an above-ground nuclear test eating fried chicken, and will they cancel each other out? You see? You can't think that way. You can't allow your logic to go in that direction because you start building up so many false levels of assumption that it starts breaking things down for you. So no, hitting children didn't create the state. Hitting children is not what it is that perpetuates the state. It's very likely that one of the many things that allows the state to continue is violence against children. But there's no direct one-on-one cause and effect to say the state exists because people spank their children, or the state exists because there's violence against children. It's just as easy to say there's violence against children because the state exists. Or it's just as easy to say fried chicken causes cancer. You see, these things may or may not be related. But because you see two things that are similar, that doesn't necessarily mean one caused the other. Or two things existing in the same place at the same time, one is not necessarily the result of the other. It's true that the continuation of the state as a violent mythology reinforces aggression. And since government is, by definition, an attempt to monopolize aggression, more aggression strengthens the state. So the more aggression there is, the stronger the state becomes, because the state is attempting to monopolize aggression. And the stronger the state becomes, the more aggression that there is. But again, to say that hitting causes the state, it's kind of like trying to, or even the other way around, it's trying to prove like a chicken egg argument. It's not really a logical path to go down. Yeah, you know, sure. Let's not beat our children, okay? But you have to look at the problem as bigger than that, and the solution as different than that. You know, maybe that's one solution you can look at in your life. Don't beat your kids. That will produce more peace in your family. But we have to look at something beyond that. Now, I'm going to go ahead and break for a commercial. And when I get back, I'm going to maybe talk about why Steph made this mistake, how we can make mistakes just exactly like this in our lives, and maybe why we cling to mistakes like this when we make them. And hopefully I'll be able to help you, and maybe even me, to be able to spot these things when we start to fall into them and recognize them, so that we can not be taken in by our own folly like that. Okay, stick with me. I'll be right back. I'd like to talk to you about Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. The Liberty Classroom is a collection of courses on history and Austrian economics presented in an easy, convenient way. There are video files and audio files you can download. You can participate in discussions online in the discussion boards. And there are live sessions with Tom Woods and the other educators where you can directly interact with the instructors. Now, who is this for? It's for anyone who realizes that they didn't get the real story in government-approved schools. It's also great for homeschoolers and unschoolers. Join Tom Woods and his team, and they'll equip you with one of the very best tools the Liberty Movement has to offer, knowledge, real knowledge in a usable form. At Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom, you can get all this for only $99 a year. Now, that's less than the cost of one movie DVD a month. This gets you access to absolutely everything on their site, all the courses plus additional courses that will be added later, the discussion forums, the live sessions, everything. So how do you do this? You go to badquaker.com. You click on the banner for Tom Woods Liberty Classroom. By using that link, you'll let Tom know that I sent you, and you'll help badquaker.com. Thank you very much. Okay, thanks for sticking with me. And a quick recap, I'm talking about... I'm talking about making a mistake. If you set aside that I'm using Stefan Molyneux as an example, what I'm really talking about here is seeing something, seeing any particular thing through the eyes of an expert, and only seeing the aspects of it that are unique to your field of expertise. So, for example, in this case with Stefan Molyneux, thinking that all martial arts are just hitting, and thinking that all the problems of the world, and including the problems of the state, are all based on hitting children. And again, I'm not saying we should hit children. I'm just saying that when you focus everything onto that one thing, I think where Stefan is making the mistake, and where all of us can make this mistake very easily, is that Stefan is a true expert in certain realms, including He's widely recognized as an expert in child raising and in personal relationships in the family and so forth. So that's his area of expertise. But when he steps out of it and looks at something that he has no actual interest in, like martial arts, and then he assumes that things that he already has proven to himself about family raising and about family relationships, he assumes that those things apply similarly in something that's completely unrelated, like martial arts. So now, I'm going to give an example of how I encountered the same thing in my life, and I'm going to use my own medical problems as an example for this. I appreciate people being very private about their medical situations, and to a certain extent, I do that, and I encourage people to keep their medical information very private because it can be used against you in a variety of different ways. But when I first started having medical problems, you know, it was so unusual that if I can talk about it now openly in the public and save someone else the grief of having to go through a long period of time of trying to figure out what's going on with them, if me sharing my experiences can help somebody else, then it's worth me, exposing my medical history. So when I first started having medical problems, and this was about 2002 or 2003, I can't remember exactly, the symptoms were really unusual and very confusing. Everything from, like, I was having fiery pain in my left forearm with rigidity and really severe itching at times, and I had a lot of pain in my left shoulder. I had a tremendous amount of pain in my neck. I had shooting pains in my legs and in my feet, and fiery shooting pains, and I had shooting pains in my back and my hips. I had moments of extreme confusion. I would have maybe for half an hour at a time, I would lose my reading comprehension abilities. Now, I could still read. I could look at the words. I knew what words were. I knew what letters were. I knew I could read a sentence, you know, but I couldn't really tell what was being said. If I read a paragraph or something, I had no idea what was being told to me in that paragraph. And this would last anywhere from half an hour to an hour, maybe a little longer. It was very confusing. And I suddenly started having migraine headaches in the middle of the day. And then eventually I started having cluster headaches at night. And it got to the point of where I was having cluster headaches almost every night. I want to read to you a Wikipedia definition of a cluster headache in case you're not familiar with these. Cluster headache is a condition that involves, as its prominent feature, an immense degree of pain that is almost always on one side of the head. Some doctors and scientists have described the pain resulting from cluster headaches as the most intense pain a human can endure, worse than burns, broken bones, or even childbirth. I've never experienced childbirth. I've had many bones broken, and I've been burned pretty bad. And I would say I would take a severe burn over a cluster headache any time. The only difference being that, you know, a severe burn does real damage and lasts a long time, whereas a cluster headache, if you can get through it, then if you can keep in your mind that it's going to end at some point and that you just have to not harm yourself, you know, before then you can get through a cluster headache. But that's the problem. Cluster headaches are also called suicide headaches because they've driven people insane to the point of where people have attempted to drill holes in their head to relieve the pressure because it just feels like your head is going to just pop. It feels like your eye, one or both eyes, will just pop right out of your head if you don't do something. And so people have actually been driven to the point of insanity and where they've taken things like a power saw and tried to cut the top of their skull open in order to relieve the pressure, and they've died because of this in many cases. So they've referred to cluster headaches as suicide headaches. But I think it's not because the person's trying to commit suicide. I really think it's because the level of pain is so intense that they kind of go insane and they think that they're going to relieve the pain by drilling a hole in their head. So anyway, so I went to my doctor with these problems. And there was other symptoms, too. There was a bunch of symptoms, but these were the prominent symptoms. And I went to my doctor, and he was a general practitioner, and he had no clue what was wrong with me. He asked a ton of questions, and I answered the best that I could, but he still had no idea what to do or what to even say. he started sending me to one specialist after the other. Now, I'm going to run down this list of specialists and basically what they said. I went to a chiropractor, and he said that the problem was my back. I needed months and months of spine adjustment. I went to a physical therapist, and the physical therapist said, what I need is daily physical therapy, maybe for months and months of physical therapy. That's the problem. See, that's what I need to do. I went to a neck surgeon, and oddly enough, the neck surgeon, after lots of testing, x-rays, dyes were injected in my spine, I was turned upside down and photographed in every way you can imagine, and the neck surgeon came to the conclusion that I needed neck surgery, you see. And this is not some quack. He was one of the surgical team for the NFL, for the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's not a quack. He's a real professional. He's renowned in the area. He's one of the best surgeons in the area. And after careful investigation, the neck surgeon found that I needed neck surgery. And when I told him, you know, I think I'm going to pass on that. I don't think that's the problem. He said, you'll be back, because he was so confident that he had discovered the problem. He says, you'll be back. You'll be back within a year. You'll be back, and I'll do the surgery for you. I went to a neurologist, and it turns out the neurologist felt I had a nervous system disorder. And he did all kinds of tests on me. He hooked things to my head, and he hooked things to my fingers, and he shined lights in my eyes, and blinking, flashing, different colored lights. And he came to the conclusion that I had a nervous system disorder. I was sent to a geriatric physician, and the geriatric physician decided that I had an advanced age-related health issue, because he's a geriatric physician, and he deals with age-related health issues. So here I am in an office with like 80-year-old plus people, and I'm the only one in there who's not that old. I actually even went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said that I was obsessed with my medical condition, and I needed a psychiatric evaluation and lots of follow-up sessions. Imagine that. That's what the psychiatrist thought I needed. Psychiatry, of course. So the chiropractor thought that I needed spine adjustments. The physical therapist thought that I needed physical therapy. The neck surgeon thought I needed neck surgery. The neurologist thought I had a nervous system disorder. The geriatric physician thought I had an age-related disorder. The psychiatrist thought I needed psychiatric evaluation. Imagine that. I wonder what would have happened if I had gone to an auto transmission specialist. I'll bet my transmission would have been the problem, right? Do you see what I'm talking about with allowing a specialized field to influence the way we look at something that has nothing to do with the way it twists how we look at something like that? Now, around this time, this took like a year and a half that we just, my wife, I couldn't even drive at this time. I had gotten to the point of where I had almost no reading comprehension at all, ever. And my wife was having to take off work and drive me to one specialist after the other. It seemed like I was going to some specialist every week. For like a year and a half, this went on. And we had no idea what was happening. And my condition was deteriorating worse and worse and worse the whole time. And our insurance company started getting a little itchy about this. And it looked like we were going to get into some legal problems. So we had, at the time, we had a relationship with a really good attorney in the Dayton area. So my wife and I went to see our attorney. And he looked at the list of doctors that I had been to. And he had us explain all the different symptoms that I was having. And when we got all finished explaining everything, he asked one question. He said, have you ever suffered a concussion? And I almost laughed, you know. I've had over 35 concussions. And so I almost laughed. I'm like, asking me if I had a concussion is like asking a octopus if he has legs. Yeah, I've had concussions. I've had lots of concussions. I had my first concussion when I was 2 years old, fell down a flight of metal stairs. I've had lots of concussions. And the doctor reached back behind him, and he pulled a book off of his shelf. And he opened it to a page, and he pointed to a thing, and he had us read it. And it was basically all the symptoms that we had just told him. You see, as an attorney, he deals with people who have had accidents on a regular basis. and he deals with people who suffer concussions on a regular basis. But you know who doesn't deal with people with concussions? Chiropractors, physical therapists, neck surgeons, geriatric physicians, psychiatrists. They don't deal with multiple concussion victims. So none of them, even though they all had the solution to my problem, none of them actually had the solution to my problem. They could only see my problem through the eyes of their specialization. And we all have a tendency to do this at times. Oftentimes I think about different people in the liberty movement who have come to different conclusions about how to deal with the state and what to do about the state and how to think ahead and fight the state and so forth. People who have been involved in politics for years and years and years, they tend to think that the solution to the state is to get involved in politics. Do you ever notice that? It's odd that someone who's been in politics their whole life has a solution to the problem of the government, and that solution is to get involved in politics. Somebody who's been involved in economics their whole life, who studied economics, who has maybe they're a professor of economics, and you talk to them about the trouble that the world is in. You talk to them about the mess that the government is in, and the overspending, and the budget, and where's it going to lead. And oddly enough, they have an economic outlook, and they offer an economic solution. So, in dealing with Steph's mistake, as much respect as I have for Stefan, and realizing that he is an expert in his field, and all of us have a lot to learn from people like Steph, including things like child raising and how to stop the cycles of abuse that are so horrible that children suffer. But when you look through eyes that are focused only on child abuse, you tend to see child abuse as the root of all evil. Martial arts is not about aggression. At least, it doesn't have to be about aggression. I'm sure to some people, martial arts is about aggression. But not all martial arts is about aggression. Some martial arts is about defense, and defense is not aggression. You can defend yourself very violently and not be aggressive. Aggression is when you impose yourself upon another when you initiate that opposition. When you initiate the violence, that's aggression. But if violence to any degree when used in self-defense is not aggression. And a good portion of martial arts is strictly defense. Lots of martial arts, lots of aspects of martial arts do not involve hitting, do not involve, and Steph kind of has an obsession with this word hitting, but lots of martial arts, not only do they not involve hitting, in some competitions, in many competitions, hitting is not allowed in the competition itself. Keep in mind, Greco-Roman wrestling is a martial art. It's a Western martial art. Grappling is a Western martial art. You think of that Brazilian, that weird-looking, I can't remember what it's called, but that weird-looking Brazilian martial arts, which really looks more like breakdancing. It's not fighting, it's not aggression. And it's not really even defensive. I think if somebody tried to use that against me in some way during an actual street fight, I think about, 30 seconds or so, and that guy would be either incapacitated or running away. It's really more literally of an art form. If you watch these Brazilian people, it's almost like intense dance. It's really interesting to watch that. I can't remember. I wish I would have looked it up and put it in my notes, that really fun-looking Brazilian martial art. It's not an effective fighting form. You certainly wouldn't want to attack somebody using that. So it's not right. It's completely inaccurate. It's false to say that all martial arts is about hitting. It's simply not. That's an uneducated point of view. Not all martial arts is even about competition. A lot of martial arts is strictly about physical awareness and physical development. And in that situation, it's very much like several other things, like working out, using other forms of exercise. It's, in a sense, it's like jogging, or in a sense, it's like yoga. Many aspects of martial arts are strictly to improve oneself, not necessarily aggression, not necessarily hitting. And even in competition, you have to remember, even when sporting competition is very violent, some sporting competition is violent, but that's not aggression. A violent sport is not aggression. And a violent sport does not necessarily mean there's something wrong with the person, or there's something wrong with their childhood, or their parents did something wrong. Just because somebody likes to play football, and you know, it's kind of, especially if you go with Australian rules football, it's a little hard to argue that Australian rules football is less violent than, say, you know, karate. I'm not sure how you would say one is violent and the other is not, or one is, you know, one is based on being hit as a child and the other is not, or I don't see a logical way to divide these things up. But Australian rules football, as violent as it is not aggression. Violence is not necessarily aggression. Violence, when people choose to do it, is not necessarily related to some childhood flaw or some deficiency in your parents. Sometimes it's just fun for a bunch of guys to go out and wrestle and ram into each other and push each other and shove each other and try to outrun each other while carrying an object. Sometimes that's just fun, and it's not necessarily fun because your parents beat you. There's no, you know, just because somebody's from Kentucky and they eat chicken doesn't guarantee they're going to have cancer. And just because somebody lives in Nevada and doesn't have cancer, it doesn't mean atomic testing is good. You have to get beyond these things. And that doesn't mean, again, that doesn't mean that I'm attacking Steph or anything else like that. It's important with all of us that when we have a specialty, a thing that we tend to focus on, that we stay within that which we know. And when we step outside of what we know, keep in mind that we're not necessarily in our field of endeavor, and and watch what we say. And that's hard to do. That's hard for me to do. It's really hard for me to do, because I typically have an opinion on everything, whether I know anything about it or not. And that gets me into trouble sometimes. Sometimes I look foolish because I've stepped out and said something without really thinking about it or investigating it thoroughly. And I think that's what Steph did. And I think it's important that when we make mistakes like that, that we're able to self-examine and we say, oh man, that was dumb of me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm demanding that Steph come out in public and you know, apologize or change his word or whatever like that. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that for all of us, for each and every, this, any of us can fall into this trap. Anyone can. And we often do. And when we do, we need to train ourselves to recognize it. And that way we can avoid this. I'll be right back and we'll wrap this up. Hang on, I'll be right back. Would you like to do something to support BadQuaker.com? Here's how easy it is. If you're already going to buy something from Amazon, go to BadQuaker.com first. Click on any of the buttons for Amazon. Once at Amazon, shop like you normally would. You'll pay the same price for the things you buy from Amazon, but Amazon will give BadQuaker.com a tiny portion of that purchase. It's amazingly easy to shop at Amazon, it won't cost you any extra, and you'll be supporting BadQuaker.com. Thank you. Okay, thanks for sticking with me again. And I just want to say one more time, that this is a mistake. That Steph has made a mistake here that any of us can make, and that all of us have a tendency to make at some point in our life. But again, not all martial arts is about aggression. Not all martial arts involves hitting. Not all and defense is not aggression. And not all martial arts is about competition. And sporting competition is not aggression. These are completely separate from each other. And when you choose, you know, there are people who involve themselves in any number of different types of violent behavior that is purely voluntary. And they can enjoy that as long as everything, every aspect of it is voluntary. You might look at it and say, well, that's weird, or that's crazy, or that's, you know, harmful in some way, or, you know, you were abused as a child or whatever. But when you're making those judgments on other people without knowing anything about it or without knowing enough about it, you know, that's really not a libertarian thing to do, to judge other people like that. If they're not aggressing on someone, then it's really not your business, you know? If two people or 10 people or two teams of 10 people each or two teams of 11 people each are out on a field and they're just beating the crap out of each other, if they're doing it voluntarily, you have no right to judge them and judge their parents and say that their parents did something wrong when you know nothing about their parents. And that's just that one person. But again, we're all guilty of this at times and in different ways. And consider also that anything can be perverted. How about full contact chess? You ever play chess? How about full contact chess? Or how about shot glass chess? You ever play shot glass chess? Shot glass chess is where each piece on the board is either represented by a shot glass full of your favorite beverage, or it's actually, sometimes you can actually use shot glasses. There are shot glasses with the symbols of all the different chess pieces on the shot glass. And so then you, let's just say you're using vodka or whiskey or whatever. Let's say you use vodka. So you fill all the shot glasses full of vodka, and then you begin playing, and the shot glasses are all individual chess pieces. And then you begin playing chess. And as you play chess, whenever you take the other, your opponent's piece, it's according to how you play it. You either take the shot, or they have to take the shot, whichever your rules are ahead of time when you set the game up. And then about halfway through, unless there's a really fast game, about halfway through the game, you're having a hard time strategizing the next chess move. But you see, so that's shot glass chess. But that doesn't make playing chess proof that you're an alcoholic. Just because you like chess doesn't mean you're an alcoholic. Because you might play chess that doesn't involve shot glasses and taking shots of whiskey, you see? And it's the same thing with anything else like this. And when you demonize a word like hitting, and you lump a whole class of activity into that demonized definition, it's really no different than demonizing a word like anarchy and then lumping a whole branch of political philosophy into that demonized definition. So you take the worst case scenario, you take some 21-year-old kid that has no actual political theory in mind. He's just a violent, spoiled, rotten, brat, rich kid that's wearing $300 tennis shoes and has all of his expenses paid by his rich father, and he goes down, and he waves a black flag and puts a black rag around his face and smashes a window, and you say, see, that's why anarchy can't work. Look, this is how anarchists are, you see? And of course, that's not anarchy, and he's not an anarchist. He's just some brat that wants to, you know, to commit violence and show his aggression without having to pay consequences for it. That's all that is. That's not anarchy. But aren't you doing the same thing when you take a word like hitting and then you just lump a whole class of activities under that one word and then demonize that word and then use that word as a blunt object to beat your opponent with in conversation? Once you demonize a word, whether it be anarchy or hitting or anything else, once you demonize that word, the logical discussion is over. It becomes a matter of swinging the demonized word at whatever the topic is. After all, isn't auto body work just hitting? Isn't carpentry just hitting? You see what I'm saying? So you have to be really careful with things like this. Now, so shot glass chess, that doesn't mean chess is alcoholism. Isn't chess just alcoholism? Now, in reference to martial arts, Steph said, anybody who says it's all about self-defense has obviously never been to a karate or judo match or anything like that. Well, using that same logical tool, I could say anybody who says that chess is all about strategy has obviously never been to a chess match at a frat house or anything like that, right? We have to, And the fact that somebody as smart as Steph can make this mistake means any of us can make this mistake. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, Stefan Molyneux is quite a bit smarter than me. And I know I've been guilty of doing this at times. So any of us can get caught doing this. Stereotyping is not always inaccurate. Sometimes stereotyping actually provides a fairly accurate window into something. But oftentimes stereotyping can be bad. When you take an assumption that you've made and then you lump a whole group of people into it, that's typically not going to work out good for you. Steph actually said that there's a whole culture out there, and he said those people are crazy. He's talking about people that do martial arts. Well, that's really harmful because there's a lot of people in martial arts that are not crazy, that were not beaten by their parents, and that are very civil people who are important in society. You can't just lump everybody into this giant stereotype and say they're all like this and their parents are all like this because you've made this assumption. You can't judge, and clearly he had, you can't judge something like martial arts by the movies any more than you can judge the gun culture by the movies, or you can judge, you know, racing culture by the movies, or you can judge anything else that the movies, police work. You can't judge police work by the movies. They create an entirely false image of it. Or anything else, almost anything that the movies create, you can't use the movies as an example of what real life is like. And the gun argument is a good one because, you know, I hate to say it, but Steph kind of has a twisted view of defense in general. There's absolutely nothing wrong with defense. And if you find yourself in a position, either where you live or where you have to commute back and forth to work, or, you know, other aspects of your life that are where you have to go into places that you don't have complete control of your environment, well, Steph says just don't go there. Well, that's easy for Steph to say, living comfortably in Canada in the suburbs where he does. But not everybody lives comfortably in Canada in the suburbs. Some people don't have a choice and are stuck living in places that are very dangerous. And some people are stuck working jobs that are very dangerous. They don't want to be there, but they don't have a choice. And there are a lot of things in life that we don't have a choice about. And sure, you can just get up and move to a suburb in Canada, but how long are you going to stay there if you don't have a job that supports it? If you're stuck working in a convenience store in an inner city in the Midwest, you really need to think about self-defense. And if that means you need to take a martial arts class, well, that's a lot better than getting beat up or raped or something, isn't it? Isn't it better to have a little preparation for the possibility that you may encounter a really bad situation? You think about those people in that theater from that shooting in Colorado not long ago. Using Stefan's point of view on this, well, I don't know. It doesn't really apply, does it? They didn't go there expecting any kind of violence. They didn't go there expecting any kind of confrontation. They certainly didn't go there expecting some crazy guy to step out with a gun and start shooting them. But had they made preparations, had they been walking around in life being prepared for something violent to happen, then perhaps they could have done something other than sit there and allow the crazy guy to shoot them. I never understood that mentality, really. I've never understood the victim mentality. I hate to sound this way, and maybe it is because of my concussions, and maybe it is because of all the things that I've faced through life. But when a situation turns bad in front of my eyes, my initial reaction is generally to grab hold of the situation and throw it to the ground and beat the crap out of it. I'm not going to just say, oh, wow, I shouldn't have been here. I'm going to deal with whatever's right in front of me at the time. There's no huddling under a counter for me. So now let me tease with this a little bit because I didn't really get into it. Jake Shannon, I'm going to be interviewing him in about an hour and a half, and it's going to be on the show tomorrow for Friday's podcast if everything goes well. Jake Shannon is the founder of something called Scientific Wrestling. And I'm going to have him explain what that is for tomorrow's podcast. And Jake is also a martial arts master. And so I'm going to talk to him about this. And keep this in mind, I've been talking to Jake about having this interview for months, longer than Steph's been talking about this. So this is, I'm not just getting Jake on here just to defend my position or to attack Stefan or anything like that. I've known Jake on the internet for a long time, and I've really wanted to have him on the podcast for a long time, but he just had a book that came out, so that was a good excuse for me to invite him on and have him break away from his schedule and come on the show with me. But I'm gonna have Jake talk about this a little bit tomorrow, or actually in a couple hours when I talk to him, and get his take on it. But I want to take this also back to the origin of the state. You know, Stefan kind of indicates that the state exists because people hit their children. And so if we take this to the origin of the state, I can imagine, you know, all the people in the Neolithic age were all just getting along fine, and everybody was peaceful parenting, and there were no hitting of children at all, and everybody just got along great, and everything was happy. And then one angry mother smacked her son because her son pulled his sister's hair. And the next thing you know, that kid grows up and fortifies the walls of Jericho and starts riding out with his gang to tax the local farmers, right? Is that a scenario that makes sense? Like, we got along for literally millions of years, possibly, thousands of years at least, hundreds of thousands of years in all likelihood, that we existed as fully developed humans, or we were created as fully developed humans and still existed for eons of time, and I can make that argument, even if you're a strict a biblical scholar or whatever, I can make the argument that humans have existed for extremely long periods of time. And we existed for these long periods of time without a state, all the way until 10,000 years ago when the state was born in Jericho. And so would the argument have to be then that for perhaps hundreds of thousands of years, fully developed humans never struck their children, not even once, and therefore the state didn't exist? And then all of a sudden, some crazed Neolithic woman whacked her kid, and then we got the state. See, that didn't make any sense. No, what makes more sense is what I've said the origin of the state is. And that is that somehow, some point in time, somehow, men began to accept the myth that some people can make law and inflict that law upon everybody else, and somehow that's legitimate. The acceptance of that myth was the birth of the state. And then it just, everything that we've seen since then, and everything that we're going to see in the future involving the state, is just the natural progression of that myth living its life out and coming to maturity. You see, that's the origin of the state. The origin of the state is when men grasp the idea in their mind that it's okay for one group of humans to make laws according to their own fancy, according to their own whims, and then inflict those laws using aggression upon everybody else. That's the birth of the state. And the death of the state is as easy as stopping believing that silly myth. That's all you have to do. And it happens on an individual level. It happens with me. I do it. I decide in my mind that the state, that the myth of the state is just a myth. And I share that thought with other people. And one after the other, we realize this. Now, sure, you know, it's important to raise your children as peaceable as possible. Teach your children to be peaceable people, to embrace peace as much as possible. This is important, not only, you know, when you're thinking about the state and the future of humanity, but it's also important just to have an enjoyable life. The more peaceful you are in life, the more enjoyable your life is. But sometimes a really, really peaceful person likes to put on some headgear and likes to put on some shoulder pads and likes to go down and just knock the crap out of somebody else in a voluntary situation. There's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't mean something's wrong with you. And it doesn't mean your parents did something bad. It just means that we're animals. And sometimes, deep within our nature, there's the desire to just grab hold of a gorilla and wrestle it to the ground and see if you can take that gorilla or not. There's somewhere deep in us that does that. And if you don't believe it, and maybe I'm offending somebody who's really fundamentalist Christian or a fundamentalist Jew or maybe a fundamentalist Muslim, but all you have to do is just look at a troop of apes, watch them, watch a troop of chimpanzees, and the young males just love to wrestle with each other because it's fun. You know, when I was like 8th grade, early high school, I was a tremendous wrestler. And it was not aggression. It's just having fun. We can't let our focus on our field of specialty alter our ability to see outside of that field. And it doesn't matter if that field of specialty is family and child raising or sports or health or fitness or defense or guns and shooting. Maybe guns and hunting. There are some people who really focus on these things. Guns as a means of self-defense. There are people who focus on those things. Economics, the coming economic collapse. If you focus too much on any one of these things and then try to look to all the solutions and all the causes of problems in life and narrow them all down into one of those things, then you're going to have a really limited ability to deal with the future. If you only think of guns and the future and the coming financial collapse, then you're only going to think of guns as the answer. And guns are not the answer to what's going to come at us. It may be important to be able to defend yourself. I won't argue against that. But the answer to the coming crash and the coming problems that the governments of the world are going to have, the answer to that is not based on guns. It's not based on, revolution and attacking things. But if you only focus on guns and that avenue, it's real easy to think, well, that's the direction we have to go to prepare for the future. And again, if you only think of economics, then you only look at, say, the price of gold and you look at how the dollar is being manipulated and you look at these things, then you begin to only focus on how you can get more gold to get through the coming collapse. But you got to think beyond that. You got to look beyond and you got to look at your own individual life. And if you're not happy in the things that are going on right now in your life, that's more important to deal with than whether or not, you got to set aside what happened in the past. Even if it's true that you had some kind of a childhood that involved abuse or, whatever, I don't want to really get into a lot of that, but even if you have problems in your life that involve those things, and I'm very sorry if you do, but you have to come to a point in your life where you put the past behind you and you don't live and dwell in the past. You begin, and you don't dwell in the pain. Sometimes the past can hold all kinds of pain, but you can't dwell on that pain, and you can't dwell on the past, and you can't dwell on failures of the past, your own failures and your own shortcomings, or failings and shortcomings of others, whether they be your parents or anybody else. You can't just constantly dwell on those shortcomings and those failures. What you need to do is set your mind to dwell on better things in the future and on how you can have a better life right now and how you can make your life better in the future and how you can adjust your life when things change, how you can adjust your life and still maintain a better future. It's much better to focus on the positive things in your life like that than thinking about how bad people have treated you in the past. Because if you only think about how bad people have treated you in the past, you expect people to treat you bad in the future. And that kind of creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, if you treat people, everyone around you, like they're going to treat you bad, then they end up treating you bad because you've created that scenario yourself. So it's much better not to look to the past. It's much better to look to the future. Folks, for more on liberty, property rights, and the zero aggression principle, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening today.